Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bros 3 Podcast for Monday, May 31st, 2021. And how you doing, fam? I say, how are you doing? A big shout out, words of recognition to our men and women in the armed forces. I thank you for your service and your sacrifice more than you'll ever know. All right, so let's get to it. I have to make amends. The last episode, I was telling you about going to the Museum of Science and Industry to see the Marvel exhibit. Well, in my haste, I kind of rushed over some of the people who were there. I said I went, my mom went, brother number two went, and I said other people. Well, those other people are very special to me, and they told me that they're displeasure of being left out. So with that being said, Sis was also there. Now, if you new or uninitiated to the podcast, Sis is brother number two's better half. She's a valued part of the family, and she helps with the marketing of the show, for better or for worse. She has great ideas. I just don't know how to use technology, right? So I always like to imagine Sis as the young lady from the Incredibles movie, the one who used to make the suits. I don't know what her name is, but she's a small lady, diminutive in stature, with these big glasses, very fashion forward. And I always think whenever Sis gives me ideas for the show, it's just like, darling, like, you need to pronunciate, you need to explode with life. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I went over there last night, got me a plate, you know how the uncle do. So I go over there and Sis is like, darling, I heard the podcast. I'm like, oh, well, that's what's up. I'm glad that you heard it. She was like, I do have a couple of notes. I'm like, okay, what's wrong? What's going on? She was like, well, I can't help but notice that you glossed over some people who were at the event with you, and that cannot stand. So I said, you know what? I will make amends. Also, my nephew was there. Brother number two has a son. Sweet kid. I didn't mention him either. With that being said, Sis, I apologize. Rojay, I'm sorry. All right, now let's get to this episode. And I know I say this a lot, but this is the truth. I am not a fan of technology. I mean, technology does a lot of great things, and I'm not going to dismiss that. I don't like the intrusiveness of certain things. I don't. Like, okay, so I bought myself a smartwatch. That way, you know, I don't have to always pull out my phone and know what time it is. I don't have to pull out my phone to see who's texting me, any kind of alerts, emails, the whole nine, right? It just comes to my wrist. So that way, it also looks a bit more professional. There's nothing worse than someone grabbing their phone every 3 minutes because they think they might be missing out instead of being in that moment. So I got me this smartwatch, right? It tracks my heart rate. You know, I can see Facebook messages, someone liked, shared, subscribed, all this. I'm just right on my wrist, you know? I feel like Inspector Gadget. Not Inspector Gadget, but his niece, you know, Penny, because she had a watch, and she be sitting there talking. Or I can control music on my phone from my smartwatch. It's pretty cool. And if I want to be bothered, there's a Do Not Disturb button. Like, just, yeah, I'm learning new stuff about this watch every day, right? It also tracks my steps and my heart rate, all that good, right? So I got to watch it, and I got it, and I'm messing around with it a little bit. There's still features I don't understand, and I mean, that's cool, I guess, a little intrusive, but it is what it is. But my phone, like, I don't know about you, but normally I just plug my phone up, you know, keep it on the charger. I guess apparently that kills the battery life. So this new phone I got, I plug it in, I'm driving around, and it vibrates. And I'm driving, so I'm like, okay, I come to a stoplight. The phone is telling me, like, we are suspending charging because we are charged up. Like, please take us off the charger. I'm like, okay, cool, take off the charger. Him, her, whatever. And then sitting right in the sun, it's a sunny day or whatever, it vibrates again. So when I get to a stoplight, I look at the little messages say, the phone is overheating. Please put us in a cool, safe space and wait for further instructions. Who running the show here? But with that being said, I take it out the sun. After about 5 minutes, come to another stoplight, and it vibrates again. I say, okay, thank you for getting us out the sun. Now we can resume regular functions. Like, look, I don't need no lip from you. I don't need, I don't need that. I don't need to be told what to. The phone, like, oh, please help us because we overheating. But okay, fine. I pay for the device. It's for the best interest, quote unquote, of the device. Even though in 7 years, the phone companies can actually like interrupt your service and stuff to make you get a new phone. And once they got sued because of that, the courts decided like that was perfectly okay. Hey, I mean, this is the world we live in. Like even a couple months ago, I saw in Japan, they got these robots, right? I guess you call them machines, robots, androids, cyborgs, I don't know. But they got these machines in hospitals where sometimes you have to give a semen sample at the hospital. I don't really know. I mean, I know why you would if you're trying to have a child. That makes sense. But that means somebody dedicated themselves to make this process, you know, I guess less shameful. So what you do is you go into the room, and I guess it's like a sleeve, for lack of a better word, like a latex condom, I guess you put on, and you basically stick your situation in this machine, and then the machine takes care of the rest. Now I don't trust my tender vitals to everything, you know, like I don't think you should be placing your body parts and machines, you know, like I've seen the scary movies when the Rise of the Robots happen, you know, and then that thing, you know, mangles you in some odd way. I'm trying to keep it PC for the family, you know, and also I'm assuming that the robot talks, you know, what the hell is I miss? You're like, oh, mushy mushy, never like, please place your situation over here, you know, and then you put your situation in and they're like, please wait while we extract the sample. You know, like, what's the difference between that? You know, nope, not gonna say that. Anyway, yeah, so there's robots in Japan, and if you need a sample extracted, they got machines that can do that. I think the thing I don't like is computers don't have no shame. You know, computers do the nastiest thing. You know, you say something to a computer, computer just go. Like, please let me do the thing that you like. And it's like, yeah, but if ain't no shame involved, like, what's the fun in that? Like, oh, I make you feel good. Like, nah, there's no feelings involved in that. Anyway, I got my watch on, right? And normally I don't sleep in it, but tonight, I started sleeping in my watch. I didn't feel like taking it off. So, while I'm asleep, I guess my heart rate elevates, you know, you know, I don't know. So I wake up because my wrist vibrates, my wrist vibrates, and I look at it, and on the screen is something I never seen before. It's like a $4, it says $4, it's flashing green, which I've never seen before, and there's a stack of money behind it. So I'm trying to figure out how. Why, like, congratulations, bing, $4. I'm like, how did I was just asleep. I mean, my heart rate elevated a little bit, but I earned $4 while I was asleep. Like, I don't know if my watch started an OnlyFans account or something, but I want my $4. You know, I got to have my $4. I don't know if you seen, you liked, you shared, and subscribed. But yeah, I made $4 while I was asleep, and my heart rate was a little elevated. I mean, you know, I don't know. And even, okay, so May 28th. I don't know what day that was, but guess what, y'all? That was National Ovulation Day. You know how I know that? Because I was at a restaurant. I look at my watch, and it flashes National Ovulation Day. 8 o'clock a.m. Eating breakfast. So I look down at my watch. I'm like, and I said it out loud because I'm old. I'm trying to figure. I'm like, National Ovulation Day. And the woman at the table next to me, she was like, so whose cycle you tracking? I'm like, no, the watch said, okay, you know what? It's fine. I didn't need to know that. And then the bad thing, so now I'm searching May 28th is this National Ovulation Day. Apparently it was National Hamburger Day. So my watch is just like, hey, let's mess with them, throw this out there. So that happened. I've been really trying to put forth a different effort. I'm putting out different energy. You know, you get what you give. What you put out in the atmosphere, you know, it's the law of attraction in the universe. You know, you put out good, you get good. If you're looking for good, you find good. So what I've been trying to do, I've been changing some well-established habits that have not been advantageous. That's a good word. Advantageous to a better lifestyle. So with that being said, I've been stopped drinking as much. It's been a very long time. I drink non-alcoholic beers now. You know, that's my jam now. And when I go out into the world, I'm trying not to be as aggressive. So I made like a kind of a deal with myself. Like when I go out in the world, if I see somebody, I try to say something nice to them. Or I say hi, or just something. And so I was at a gas station, and a gentleman came in. He's wearing all white, right? He had a white t-shirt on. He like he had some white Dickies on. He had black boots on, and he had a white handkerchief. He had dreads. Younger guy, beard, whatever. And I was just like, oh man, you clean, huh? He was like, yeah, man, you know. I said, that's what's up, man. All white, man. That's a tricky look to pull off, but man, you're doing it. Congratulations. And he was like, yeah, I'm about to go to work. I say, word? I say, what, you a doctor or something? Man, because you clean. He was like, ha, ha, ha. Hey, man, that's what's up. Okay, cool. So I paid for my stuff, and I'm heading out. Now, as I'm heading to my car, the young man has put on his work shirt. So it's an all-white outfit. He looks like Master P, Ice Cream Man or something. And he comes up, you know, we social distance and whatnot. I got my mask on. Now, my whole thing is our interaction was in the restaurant, in the gas station. Like, we ain't got nothing else to really talk about. So he was like, yeah, man, I work at the Indiana Sugar Factory or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, oh, okay. And he put his shirt on. Like, he's proud of it, which is cool. He put his shirt on, whatever. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, if you know some young brothers who's down to work, you know, we need some work. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now, you work at a sugar factory. The first thing I'm thinking, man, Willy Wonka paying? Like, how much is Willy paying? Willy bringing that change? So I was like, well, you know, I might know some people who need a job. He was like, yeah, you know, this. And I liked the fact he was a young guy. And he was proud of what he was doing. So he told me how much they start off with and everything. He was like, we also need guards, too, and this, that, and the other. So come on through. I said, hey, what's your name, bro? People always like you to ask their name. Well, they don't like it, but you putting a name to the interaction. You say, oh, my name is whatever. I'm like, okay, cool, man. Well, that's what's up, man. You keep on keeping on. Brother went to work with a pep in his step. You know, and it didn't cost me nothing. It was just something nice. But at the same time, you shouldn't say hi to everybody. That's why they tell you when you're a kid, don't talk to strangers, right? So I'm taking Ebony for a walk. No leash, because that's what we do. You know, we together. You know what I'm saying? When I walk, you walk. When I move, you move, just like that. And if you don't come around, you can belong to the streets. You know, it is what it is. It's cold out there, Ray. I'm telling you, it's cold out there. So, me and Ebony, we in the backyard. I got my little non-alcoholic beer, but I ain't got my glasses on. So, I can't see nothing most of the time. So, we out in the alley. And we go back a little bit farther past the house. So I'm walking, she's sniffing, doing what dogs do. So she's ready to go in the house. So she's making her way toward the backyard. And I'm maybe two houses away. And at the end of the alley, I see somebody. They got red hair. It looks like one of the neighbors, like kind of looking out. But I don't know nobody with red hair. And I think maybe they're scared of Ebony. So I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, she going in the yard. And Ebony look at me, look at, you know, the person down there, like five, six houses away. Ebony just makes a beeline and runs to the, you know, backyard. So the person still sitting there looking at me. So, you know, I got this new positive vibe walking on sunshine. Skippy, let me go down here and introduce myself. I see my neighbors, Dorothy and Tommy. They out in the backyard doing their thing. I love them old people. So they out there doing their garden. I say, hey, what's up, everybody? I say, hey, what's going on, young man? I say, oh, man, you know, just out here with the sunshine. So I'm trying to walk close enough to see this red-haired person come into focus, right? And they still kind of, you know, somebody nervous. I had people around the corner like, who is that? What is that? And the more we close this gap, I'm like, maybe this ain't a good idea, but hey, I'm in for a penny, I'm in for a pound. Let's see this thing out. So I walk in like 2-3 houses. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. That's the gay guy that was wearing booty shorts last summer. Like, you know, light-skinned dude. He got this bright red hair. Ain't like he, but he muscular though, but he feminine in his ways. Well, that's fine, whatever. So dude sitting there looking like, who that? And if you, excuse me, if you walking down the street and you see somebody in the alley, like, I don't want to make friends in the alley, but this gay guy, I don't know what his name is, but he was like, like, let's see where this goes. So I'm trying to make friends. He like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with meeting new strangers in the alley, right? So I'm like, hey, what's up, man? I didn't realize, you know, I thought you was one of my neighbors. He was like, yeah, I live right over there. And pointed somewhere. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's what's up. I ain't gonna say where I live. Like, yeah, I live in the neighborhood too. He's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, all right, I'm going back in the house now. He's like, mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't scared to meet a stranger in the alley. And there's places to meet strangers. I don't think alleys is the best way to be making Facebook buddies and Instagram friends. But, you know, that happened. That was fun. A little scary, but fun. What else has been going on? Oh, those squirrels are back. So, like, last Thanksgiving, I got squirrels in my attic, and I'm not big on killing things. You know what I'm saying? I'm on some live and let live type stuff. But last Thanksgiving, I poured some antifreeze in a bowl and put it in the attic. I just kind of stuck my hand up there and just kind of slid it up there and then closed the latch, right? And they say antifreeze is sweet, so they'll drink it, and then from there they'll die. I felt very bad about that on Thanksgiving of all days. Like, these squirrels, they in the attic, they, you know, maybe they was having their own Thanksgiving. It's, you know, it's always some kind of religious figure and stuff. Like, hey, y'all, let's give thanks to this new crib. Look at our new crib. And all the other squirrels like, chitter, chitter, chitter. They're like, yeah, I know, right? Look, man, we got a roof over our head. Boy, God is good, ain't he? Look, we moved on up from a deluxe apartment tree to a roof over our head. Look at who doing the dang thing. Ain't no squirrels out there like, yeah, out there balling, right? So then I open up the hatch. You know, light pours in from, you know, the shaft or whatever, and I just put my little hand out there and just kind of slide it out there like the serpent, like, yeah, here you go. And then I'm assuming the papa squirrel was like, hey, look, y'all, we've been blessed by the Kool-Aid. Have y'all tasted anything like this in y'all lives? And all the other squirrels like they like, nah, we ain't never taken nothing like that. Oh my God, was this green? Is this green? You can taste the green. And like, I thought squirrels were colorblind. I don't even know, right? And then from there, people just start dropping. Bam, 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 bam. Squirrels dropping, right? Well, the daddy squirrel, you know, that's the one it's always the religious guy or the head guy who always lasts and tell the story, you know. And as these squirrels over there getting sick and puking and dropping dead, daddy squirrel like, this is a test. We are being tested. Some of y'all don't believe, and that's why we're sick right now. We got to purge the squirrels who don't believe, what's the squirrels with the nut allergy. Like, send them out, right? And then from there, you know, these numbers, I guess, start flourishing again. I don't hear them as much as I used to. But I got to do another purge, y'all. I got to send up some more of that purple drink. Either that, or I got to pay somebody to trap. And I guess it's like $50. But they put the traps up there, and every week they come by and they change the traps, so they let them go, right? But that kind of feel like slavery a little bit. Like, why have you forsaken us, old father from down below, with your purple drink and your smart watch that doth tell time and counteth thine steps. Why have you forsaken me? I don't know. So, you know, been doing that. What else? Speaking of paying attention to my neighborhood, there's some I see, right? I mean, not now. It's just I've been noticing over the years. There is a huge tree in my neighbor's yard. This tree is as big as the house, and it's got branches that extend, covers the whole house in shade, you know? And every year, the same thing happens, and it shocks me every year, right? So typically, I'm minding my own business. I'm walking, looking down the ground for some reason, and I see something very small. It looked like a wad of chewing gum, or like maybe somebody was eating and threw a piece of food down or something. And I see it every year. It takes a couple days. I pass it by multiple times because I'm fascinated by it for some reason. I see ants go to it and from it. It's a baby bird. Every year, without fail, around this time, a baby bird plummets from somewhere up here in the tree and just dies. And it's not old enough to fly. Like they almost like embryos, but there's no shell or nothing. And I don't know, man. I think about that. Like, you know, mom bird, daddy bird, they make this little life, and I'm sure there's multiple eggs there. And then, you know, like one day, dad goes get some worms, and mom, maybe she, you know, fly off to go, I don't want water, I don't know. And then they come back, they count, you know, their little babies, you know, Tom, Dick, and where's Harry? You know, look down, it's like, but they got to push on, you know. Think about that, man. It's been like 5 years, I keep saying it. And somebody was like, well, can't you do something about it? I'm like, I don't, what am I supposed to do? Like, put up a baby fence on the nest? And then the person was like, well, no, can't you put something on the ground? What am I supposed to put on the ground? I guess it's the nature of things, I guess. So, one more thing I gotta tell y'all. So this whole new attitude on life, it's been pretty jiggy. It's been pretty jiggy, pretty decent. Getting some positive feedbacks. Then the world has been smiling back at me. But then sometimes things I don't like come and test me. So yesterday, I'm at an event. It's called Cigars and Sundresses. You know, I'm down for that, you know. All right, Roger, I ain't trying. Yeah, so I'm, you know, cigars and cigarettes. Oh, cigars and sundresses. So I go in, I got my little non-alcoholic beer. No, I had a pineapple and Sprite. I don't know, like a virgin tequila sunrise, right? So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm in good company and whatnot. And there's a song playing. So I got to know what this song is, right? I'm with, you know, got good company. They're like, yo, what song is it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go ask the DJ, right? Well, the guy, he's a shorter guy, older guy, which is cool. But I had noticed earlier that he was a high-waisted man. He had childbirth and hips. And you short. You know, if he had a sundress on, he probably could have got a free drink. Not from me, but maybe from the guy in the alley. I don't know. And I ain't judging. I'm just saying, I just don't trust a brother with high waist hips. Just child burning hips. I don't know what's going on. So I go to him, I got my mask on. I'm like, yo man, this song is really cool. Like, who is this? And because it's, you know, a club atmosphere, it's actually a wine bar or something. The brother's trying to listen to me. You know, you're in the club, sometimes you gotta get close to people, right? So the brother he's like, what? What'd you say? So I say what I'm saying again. But I'm a little close to him. I got my mask on. But as I'm talking to him, he put his hands on my waist. He put his hand, one hand on my waist. Like, huh? Like, sorry, what'd you say, young man? Come a little close. I can't hear you. So I'm like, yo, this song. And as soon as his hand made contact with my hip, my high hip, you know, my regular man size hip on a 6 foot guy, like, I look at the hand and I finish saying what I'm about to say. It's like, bro, this is the wrong place to be putting your hands. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I almost get your hands off me. You know, don't. This whole caressing, when I move, you move, slow dance with my father, man, get you. Anyway, he told me the song. It was a remake by Jennifer Hudson. I think R. Kelly's song. I'm like, really? That's R. Kelly? He was like, yeah, man. With your hands on my hip. Look, man, I don't, what, you put your hands upon my hip when you did, we, I'll break your leg. Something happens that hard, y'all. That's all. All right. And now it's time for the BTP news. I'm not singing a song. The BTP news is real simple. All right. I found a couple headlines that made me laugh. Nonsensical in nature. And then from there, I try to figure out what happened. And then I read the article and see how close we got to the actual story, right? All right, so here we go. Here we go. Hold on, I'll be taking screenshots, y'all, so I gotta get everything ready. I guess you're saying, that ain't my problem. You should have did that before you started. You're right. You're right. All right, here we go. All right. Our first story. Indiana candy shop goes viral for job posting that includes, quote, sexist rant. Okay, let's see. Speaking with the brother working from the sugar factory. All right, here's how it goes down. All right, okay, yeah, we'll go with that. All right, let's see if this Indiana candy shop. All right, so they got the. Okay, yeah, this is how it goes. All right, so a candy shop needs someone to work for him. Let's just say Mr. Willy Wonka, right? Mr. Willy Wonka's an older guy, and the Oompa Loompas, somebody put some purple drink up in there in their attic, right? So the Oompa Loompas are dropping like flies, right? But Willy, you know, Mr. Wonka, what they call him, he an older guy. He ain't PC politically correct. He don't know the terminologies. He been locked up in the candy factory, R. Kelly, the chocolate factory, you know, for a good little minute. So, you know, the Oompa Loompas come in like, we need help on the floor. Oompa Loompa doopity-doo. Someone sick and it could be you. Is it Corona? We need some help. There's nothing that rhymes with help. So you were like, okay, get out of here. I told you to stop all that singing anyway. Like, hey, I'm trying to get a record deal. Don't hate me, hate the game. Alright, like, alright, cool. So Willie is trying to be cute, right? He's trying to be jazzy. And sometimes, look, if you need help, just go ahead and say, look, looking for a person to get stuck children out of the chocolate pipe. Must have small hands, Microsoft Excel experience, preferential, on job training. Just, you know, who, what, when, where, why, how. But Willie, he like, look, let's see. Are you down to get sticky? Are you ready for a sweet time? We'll call Willie at the chocolate factory. You know, licorice is okay. What's it called? Licorice whips? Must know your way around a licorice stick. How many licks does it take to get to the center road tootsie of a tootsie pop? Open up the job and find out. Sliding your DM as necessary. Like, you can't do that, you know. Yeah, I don't mind a little your chocolate melts in your mouth. Not in your hand. Holla at Willie. You know, you can't do that, you know. And then from there, maybe he used some of the language that you ain't supposed to use, you know. What do you say? Something like, you want these sugar plum fairies? No, wait a minute. What, sugar plums? I don't know. Some kind of innuendo. And then from there, you got in trouble. Right, and now he's getting sued. All right, here we go. The story. A candy shop in Indiana recently went viral after its owner used a post on Facebook about hiring to seemingly vent some of the issues he had with employees. In the post, he reportedly attributed some of the negative behaviors mainly to girls. Which caused some social media users to respond with accusations of sexism. So ain't got no problem with the guys at the candy shop, just the women. Okay. The Facebook page for, I'm not going to put the company out there, has apparently been deleted. Before it was taken down, the owner posted about how the shop was hiring for various positions, including ice cream cake decorators and customer service, the New York Port Post. According to the news outlet, after explaining that the
shop's motto was work hard, be nice. The shop's owner continued the post by complaining about the different types of people he's had to deal with as employees. He reportedly claimed about whiners, complainers, and lazy workers, while also creating nicknames for other types of workers, such as roamers, hiders, and controllers. To me, none of this sounds sexist, but let's keep reading. The post took an unexpected turn. Oh, here we go. However, when it began describing a type of worker that the owner calls splitters. Apparently, the owner uses this nickname for the type of worker who tries to split people apart. According to the news outlet, he followed this up by complaining that the behavior was mainly seen in young girls who were taught to behave this way by their mothers. Later in the post, he reportedly said boys were more likely to duke it out. Users on Facebook reportedly responded by calling the post and the shop owner sexist. Several users reportedly commented that the owner didn't come across as a good boss to work for, according to New York Post. At least one response accused him of being a woman-hating troll. The New York Post reports that online critics described the post as sexist. The shop owner responded to the backlash by apologizing for the language used in some of the responses of the shop's Facebook page. He also reportedly said that he thought the post was benign and that he thought everyone else had experienced the behaviors he was complaining about. See, that's an old man move. Like, what? Ain't nobody dealing with no young ladies? Huh? At the candy shop? Huh? You offer them a pudding pop? Next thing you know, you on Facebook. You on live. Huh? You on IG. Getting all the likes, shares, and subscribe. I'm just out here trying to push this candy to these kids. What's wrong? Huh? All right. Let's see. This story. Okay. All right. I don't know how to say this brother's name, so I don't know if it's MC Kevin or Mick Kevin. But let's see. Mick Kevin, I'm going to go with that. Falls to his death in attempt to avoid getting caught cheating on his wife. All right, y'all. Now, I want y'all to understand the loss of life is not funny per se. I mean, you know, there are some times things happen, but okay. So all right. So I'm looking at the picture of this brother. He's a young guy, handsome, he's athletic, he's covered in tattoos, he's got a big tiger on his chest, you know, and he kind of gives off a douchey vibe. This is the initial me looking at the brother. And he looked like he's a guy in the early 20s. And maybe when you're early 20s, you might not make the best decisions. Like, to be married is to make a lifelong commitment. Every day you're going to get up, you're going to try to make this person happy. But what you're not going to do is bring somebody else into your situation. It's you and her against the world, right? So, Mr. McKevin, you know, you're a party guy. You know, got married early. And, you know, he's straying, right? So he meets a young lady at a party, even though he's supposed to be in the house anyway, right? It's a party going on. He come through the door, kicking the door with some old dudes. Hey, Mick G's in the house. And you know, you the party guy. Everybody like, oh, snap, Mick G. Mick K. And then he probably got a little cool saying, when he opened the door, like, hey, did somebody order a McFlurry? Because it's awfully chilly. Like, oh, snap, Mick Kevin, what's up, man? Where's your wife, bro? And he's like, hey, man, lift the ball and chain at the house. It's time for the fellas. Saturday is time for the guys. Whatever the saying is, right? So he meets a little young lady. She probably had too much to drink. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, there go, Mick Kevin. I liked him since high school. And so, you know, they had the party or whatever. And Mick Kevin, he thought, you know, thought the missus, she was asleep. You know what I'm saying? He thought, you know, put his thing down, you know, put that... slipped her that, you know, that Bill Cosby special. Thought she was going to be asleep. Yeah, put some drugs in your pudding pop. Dog. Right? So he over here and he in the room with this young lady. Maybe where they put the coats at and whatnot. They rolling around and all this stuff. She's like, oh my God, like, I never do this. He's like, I know, baby. I'm scared too. But let's see where this takes us, right? So by the end of the room, and, you know, his home is like, oh, Mick Kevin caught another one. Oh, she go ba-da-ba-ba-ba, she loving it, right? So all of a sudden, the door kick open. Bam. I'm talking about the door to the apartment. Boom, kick open the door. It's Mrs. McKay. And they like, oh, snap, oh, no, busted, bro, right? She come in, she like, where is Kevin? They're like, you looking for McKay? You're like, no, that's my husband. His name is Kevin. Where's Kevin at? And they're like, I don't even know. Why don't you have a drink or something? Why don't you be cool? And you're like, uh-uh. No, Brandon. Hey, my name's B-Rad. I'm like, no, Brandon. Where's my husband? And he's like, I don't know, but he's definitely not in the room about to bone a chick. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I just go put my coat down. I'm like, yeah, no, totally, make yourself at home. He's like, oh, snap. Forgot McKay's in the coat room about to bone a chick, right? So, McKevin, you know, he between the parkas and the, you know, the coats and whatnot, he hit a commotion. He was like, man, that sounds like my wife. The little young lady, she like, wife, what, wife, shut up. I'm trying to listen. And then once he was like, I guess I just kick in the door. He was like, man, my wife kick hard too. So my man, he was like, look, I'm going to like hang out the window. Cause it's hot. Is it hot in here? It's hot in here. I'm just hang out the window right here. And she was like, okay, cool. And Miss McKay, she kicking the door. Boom. McKevin, where you at? She like, there's no one here but us coats. Because the little girl, she threw the parkas and stuff on top of her, these leather Gucci coats and stuff. She's like, ain't nobody up in here. It's just us coats. He's like, you must think I'm stupid. Right? So she looking around. She's like, Carrie, look, I know you're in here. I smell your cheap cologne. I see your Yeezys under the bed. Where are you? Where you at? And he holding her. He's like, oh, bro, man. I shouldn't have skipped arm day. Oh, my traps and my buys, right? And then from there, he know he only got two choices, because she coming toward the window. He's like, why is the window open? He's like, look, either I can stay here and get caught, or I can just let go. And McKevin's like, you know what? I belong to the streets. And she looked at him like, Kevin, I ain't get caught cheating, no face, no case. And that's how the story ends. All right, so let's read it. Oh, he's a singer, maybe it's MC Kevin, also known as, you can look him up if you want to, fell off the fifth floor balcony of the Rio de Janeiro Hotel on May 16th while attempting to avoid being caught by his wife. She's got a Brazilian looking name. Oh, okay, this story got a little bit interesting. You know, I already know, MC Kevin was probably like, look, man, it's the fifth floor. He trying to do the math for floors, 12 feet, I think. We in Rio de Janeiro, centimeters, foot, meter, kilogram. I can make it and just let go. Okay. But check this out, fam. The entertainer had apparently been involved in a drunken threesome. According to Extra Globo, the young artist was reportedly trying to use the balcony to escape to a low-level hotel room, but ended up landing next to the pool. Dang. Missed it by that much. Authorities took the cell phones of model lady and friend guy who were allegedly in the hotel room when Kevin fell. Okay, so two guys and one girl. Okay. Kevin and someone else had met this lady on the boardwalk before taking her back to the suite where the three reportedly, quote, maintained sexual relations. The Brazilian artist then heard a rapping at the door and jumped off the balcony to get to another balcony under his, fearing his wife arriving and finding them in the room. He instead landed on the concrete. Wow. He was like, I can make it. Once help arrived, Kevin was rushed to the nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. Following the tragedy, Kevin's widow, 33, shared a message on Instagram about her late husband. What do you say to your husband who tried to jump to another balcony like Mario in the midst of a threesome? The wrong kind of threesome, really. Like two guys and one chick. Dang. Okay, let's see. What did she say? Quote, you took a piece of me with you, she wrote. You were always so incredible. It's not fair for you to leave like this. It's not. Yeah, because she was going to get in your trail, bro. Like, oh, you think it's because you dead? Like, I can't.
Like, you, I got so many things to say to you. Yeah, that's kind of messed up. All right, actor, he won the Wayans, guys. Also took to social media and shared his feelings over the loss of his friend. It says F-U-C-K, man, FODA. I don't know what that is, F-O-D-A. My little brother, at McKevin, my heart hurts, such a sweet, pure soul. You were like a mischievous little boy with a golden heart. You loved your people. You loved your friends. You loved Brazil. You loved the favelas. What's that? F-A-V, as in Victor, E-L-A-S. You loved life. I'm sad, bro. You have so much more to do. Who will I party with when I come to Brazil? I love you, brother. Please kiss my mom up there, and she will hold you. You're in good hands, my bro. And there's a whole bunch of hashtags. To his Brazilian fans, just know he loved you the most. I'm hurt with you. The Sun reported, the newspaper, The Sun reported that the hotel room Kevin had been in had condoms strewn, good word, S-T-R-E-W-N, that means thrown about, all over, as well as bottles of alcohol. Someone claimed that he paid her $376 for the tryst. Another good word, tryst. T-R-Y-S-T. It's like an entanglement. But $376, a very specific price. Like, you would think you ended in fives, right? $10, $20, $50, $55. She went $376. Why did she give change? The Sun reported that the hotel room... Oh, okay, yeah, that's it. How do you pay somebody $376 for you and your homie? Like, how do you split that? Let's see, $375. Ooh, math. Okay, so I can do this. 100, 200, 300. So that'd be 50, 150. 75, what'd that be? 134, 50? So let's see. 134, 50. 134.50. That sounds about right. 134.50 per guy. If the math wrong, somebody send me a text. But I'm almost I put money on that one. 134.50. All right. With that being said, this has been another episode of Bro 3 Podcast. Please enjoy your Memorial Weekend. Remember why we celebrate the Memorial Day weekend. Be sweet. Try and put some positivity out there. If you need to talk to me, you got some questions, concerns, comments about the show, 219-964-7781. And be sweet, y'all. All right, please. Thank you. All right, later.